Let's head to Glastonbury, where voters are deciding on a referendum that proposes banning artificial turf fields from the town. So there's already a turf field actually at the high school in Glastonbury. But if this measure passes, that field would not be impacted. However, moving forward, it would prohibit any new turf fields from coming in. I wanted to get perspective on the impact of turf fields and certainly what it means for young athletes. And so I immediately reached out to Glenn Lungarini, who's a friend of mine. He is also the executive director of the CIAC, which is the Connecticut Interscholastic Athletic Conference. So he oversees high school sports at the public school level across the state of Connecticut. Glenn, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm doing well, Melissa. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. Now, Glenn, I can remember back circa 1990s when I was a young rec soccer player. And when you went from the real fields to especially indoor fields or sometimes artificial turf, let me tell you, skinning up my knee was no fun. It was not a good time as a young soccer player. But I don't know if that is the crux of the argument here. I wanted to understand from your perspective, what sort of are the pros and cons of having artificial turf fields?
Yeah, turf fields from when they first began to where we are now have really evolved to mimic the playability of grass. There's different, different lengths, different thicknesses of the synthetic surface. And, you know, really today you can really mimic a well groomed and maintained grass surface with a true artificial turf. The dangers that people speak about are, you know, some of the studies that come out of the potential chemical harms using fills such as the rubber pellets or the, you know, made up of old tires and whatnot. But again, you know, the majority of those studies have taken place in the West and primarily at the University of Arizona and Arizona State. And, you know, so when you look out at those and the temperatures and the environments that those studies are taking place in, it's nothing close to the environment that we have here in Connecticut.
Okay. So, I mean, that was something that I certainly was reading, one of the grassroots efforts that actually got this referendum on the ballot for this year. Their big thing, it seemed like, was environmental, talking about the turf temperatures. But to me, not only the they were talking about obviously the potential of PFAS, but they did also, it felt like, talked about the dangers, you know, physically, what the harm could be for athletes. And I'm curious if you have any insight into this. So the temperature of the turf, for example, hotter than regular grass. I mean, have we ever heard that being an issue for athletes? Have we heard of athletic injuries being, worse than if they were on regular grass? I mean, what are some, do we have any concrete examples of what we have seen here in Connecticut, you know, with turf fields being included in those stories?
Yeah, and you make a good point here that, you know, you have to look at regionally where your fields are located when it comes to the temperature concern. So from a temperature concern, you know, yes, by science, it would tell you that a turf field can get warmer than a natural grass field. But again, in Connecticut, in the climate that we live in, it's rare that you're going to have the turf raised to, you know, any extreme temperatures. And that's why we've outfitted all of our schools with wet bulb globe thermometers, so they can take the temperatures on those surfaces, both grass and turf surfaces, and make a determination if the surfaces are safe to play. In other states where you're dealing with warmer climates, they simply install sprinkler systems just as you would in a natural grass field and periodically water down the field to cool it. There are a number of different fills that go into fields now. So it's not just the rubber pellets that are used. In fact, we're playing our soccer championships at Trinity Health Stadium coming up in 2 weeks. And that synthetic surface field has a coconut fill. So it's cork and coconut shells that are ground up together. So it's you don't have the same issue. And most of the modern fields that we have going in have that coconut fill in it. So, we alleviate that issue.
So that's interesting, though, Glenn. So can basically, when if you wanted to install a turf field, see, I find this fascinating. So if you wanted to install a turf field, it sounds like you can almost kind of, I guess, compromise. You could use different, it's almost like filling that wouldn't give you that environmental impact that people are worried about, but you could still have the more cost effective option of a turf field versus maintaining grass and worrying about if the weather will impact, mm-hmm. like it doesn't impact turf field as much as it would regular grass. So it sounds like they're at least coming up with more compromises, especially if environmental is something you're worried about.
Correct. And the coconut field, it does act as a natural coolant as well, because it absorbs moisture. So when it rains, it absorbs the moisture. We've even had, you know, some issues where we've had to delay games because it absorbs moisture and then it's been cold and it freezes. And so you have, you know, a slick surface. So you have to wait for the sun to hit it and melt the ice. To go. So there's definitely, from an environmental standpoint, safe options that that you can engage in if that's a concern. But again, in Connecticut, even with the rubber pallets, we're not hitting the, you know, the 100, 107 degree temperatures that you're hitting in Arizona that, you know, results in some of these fumes being released there in play.
So Glenn Lungarini, I don't expect you to have the number on you, but maybe you do. Do you know how many facilities or I guess schools have at least one turf field that they're using? I mean, how common have turf fields become? Because maybe part of the conversation is not just, you know, we have to either eliminate them. But like you said, you know, I don't know how expensive it is to change out, you know, that rubber type of material you were talking about, that crumb rubber. Into something different or better. But I'm curious how many places even use turf fields. I would imagine they're, again, more cost effective than maintaining grass mm-hmm. in some regards.
Yes, we did a survey in 2023 through the Connecticut Association of Athletic Directors. So we have a little bit more than 50% of our schools across the state have at least one turf field, and about a third of our schools have more than one turf field. Changing out the rubber pellets when you have the turf down is difficult, but, you know, again, most turf surfaces have a 10 to 15 year lifespan on them. So when you change out the turf itself, it's very easy to change over to the new fill, and that's what most of our school districts do on that. In terms of maintenance, you know, one of the big struggles here in Connecticut is we have very strict laws and legislation on what type of treatments you can use on natural grass surfaces on your school grounds and in public parks. So being able to treat grass surfaces like, you know, the way that, you know, the Foxborough, Yankee Stadium, you know, City Field does, we don't have the ability to do that for our kids. So, you know, many of our grass surfaces become, you know, kind of a position where they're burnt out. There's a lot of hard dirt, rock, you know, so it's not as easy to maintain a grass surface as some might think because of the laws we have here in Connecticut.
I'm going to include in your podcast, Glenn, a link to the Department of Public Health. They have a full page on artificial turf fields, and I think it's interesting to read about these. But on their site, it doesn't mention the alternative material like you were talking about. What are you calling it? It's like cork and coconut.
It's coconuts.
Coconuts. But I think coconut. That's so neat. So that's not even mentioned. They talk a lot about, again, crumb rubber and the exposure of it and all of that. But I do wonder if the solution is we found something better than this rubber material. And instead of banning ever having an artificial turf, again, just to kind of open that conversation, instead of banning it moving forward, that you have something in place that's the only way that you would have it is if you use that coconut material or something that is not going to be an environmental issue or expose kids to PFAS, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, there are certainly mitigating factors that are available now that answer the environmental issue. The way that turf is made today and how it responds, especially in younger athletes, you know, when you look at injury rates and things like that, you're looking at professional and collegiate level. These are elite athletes that are moving, cutting at top speed, and they have injuries on natural grass as well. You know, at the high school level, youth level, the speed of what your movements are far less. And just playability, if you have a grass field, you're looking, you know, at about 10 hours to 15 hours a week of play on that grass surface in order to maintain it at an optimal level. In a synthetic surface, you can play on it for, you know, 12, 15 years with basically just brushing it. And, you know, so there the technology and what's available in turf today, I think, surpasses the outdated studies that have been done that cite just the rubber fill as an issue.
Interesting. Who knew turf fields would be so fascinating? And Glenn Lungarini, I always appreciate that you give us the time here on WICC. Thank you for what you do. Executive Director of the CIAC, Connecticut Interscholastic Athletic Conference. And certainly we'll see what Glastonbury voters are thinking, what they decide to do in this election. But more importantly, I will be fascinated to see if more and more people start to change that material in their turf fields. As you mentioned, Glenn, very popular in Connecticut, it seems, around 50% at least has one artificial turf field in their district. So we'll see what happens. Thank you so much for this conversation, Glenn. I really appreciate it.